The seat. Amen. 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 Sing it with me. Amen. 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 Did you ever think you'd make it to today? Oftentimes, the interim process seems to take forever. Did you ever wonder at any point that it would ever end? That you would ever get to sing the loud amen? You would not be alone. The interim process can be daunting, but you, St. David and St. Paul, you did a lot of work. 2 years is a very long time to be going through this process. And you did it during a pandemic. And you did it at the edges of the galaxy we call the Diocese of New Westminster. But you did it. As a congregational development specialist, I often work with parishes that feel like they're always in that interim place, even when they have their vicar or their rector. What do they think? When are we going to get there? When are we going to get to that place? They look around at all the other parishes in their neighborhoods and they say, well, look at that parish. That's big. Well, that one, they've got a youth group. Well, that one has multiple service times and multiple staff members. But, well, why can't we be like that? When are we going to be like that? Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not the first time anyone said that, because as we read from Samuel this morning, we had a whole nation of those ancient Israelites saying the same thing. They had done their interim period in the wilderness. I mean, 40 years. All right, so 2 years of an interim period is bad, but 40 years in a wilderness is worse. A lot goes on in 40 years. But they finally made it to their promised land. And they moved in, and they learned who their new neighbors were, and they were looking all around. They had a lot of neighbors. The promised land was crowded. But they looked at all these neighbors, and they said, well, look at what they've got. I mean, they just spent 40 years with God leading them through all sorts of things. And yet, they still looked at their neighbors and they said, well, look what they've got. They've got youth groups. They've got multiple services and staff members and all sorts of different things, programs. And they started to think, well, I guess we don't really have anything. And they forgot what they had. And that was a relationship with God, a relationship so close with God that actually God walked alongside them in the wilderness with them, circulating in spirit through all the different camps and tribes and neighborhoods. That's a close relationship. And God fulfilled God's promises and brought them to a place where they could call home and grow some roots and raise up some branches. But they looked at their neighbors and they saw something that the neighbors had and they thought they didn't have. They had a strong king. They had armies. They had a strong economy, to use 21st century terms. They had really good influencers. They had prosperity and security. And Israel didn't think about how long it took for these nations to get all of those things and to become all that they saw. What they saw was just that veneer on top. And they said, well, I want what they've got. And so they went to Samuel. Samuel didn't like that at all, because Samuel has got a pretty good relationship with God. Remember, Samuel, right? When he's sleeping behind the altar, he goes to Eli and he says, you called? Remember that? That's the same Samuel. But God says to Samuel, look, I've had 40 years with these people. I know what they're up to. So go ahead and give them what they want, but tell them, when you start looking over the fence at the grass that's greener on the other side, it could be trouble. So Samuel does that. And we know that what we read today from Samuel is what we sort of bulk into the pre-exilic text. Before Israel goes into exile, Israel tries so hard to be like their neighbors. that they wind up being consumed by their neighbors. This is a cautionary tale about envy and not recognizing what God has done and is still doing in that community. Sometimes we forget when we look over at what other people are doing. Sometimes small parishes forget when they look over the fence at what the big churches are doing. And they forget that intimate connection and relationship that they have with God and that God has with them. Where in this parish is the Holy Spirit sliding around, moving like the clouds that gather at the tops of trees here, moving in and about communities and families, friend groups and gatherings? Don't forget to look for those places. See, as much as Israel was looking at all the other people in their neighborhoods, the Philistines were there, the Ammonites were there, a whole bunch of others, as much as they were looking at them, their neighbors were looking at Israel and thinking, oh, you've got something we want. And that's what God warns them about. God says, if you decide to be like these other nations and have a king, that king is going to take a tenth of your crops. It's going to take your sisters and your daughters and make them bakers and servants. It's going to take your sons and make them run before chariots. Have you ever run before a chariot? You know how fast a horse can run? You don't stand a chance if you're going to try to stay ahead of a chariot. But that's where the sons were going to go. And they're going to take and take and take until they all become slaves. And that is what happened in exile. We forget that the others are looking at them as well. And I think small parishes forget that others in the vicinity are looking at them. You've got a whole neighborhood all around here, and they are watching, I promise you. You might not notice, but they are looking out their windows and they are listening to find out what is happening at that little church over there. Why is it that little church is still there? And that church is gone, that one is gone. I believe this is the only church in Townsite now. We are being watched by others, not because there's any nefarious reason like, oh, what are they going to do now? But because what have they got? What is it that keeps that little church going? The Anglican Church in Canada and the church around the world, especially in North America, is in a contraction mode. We are getting smaller. We are less endowed with finances than we used to be and people and all that. But we're still here. St. David, St. Paul, still here. You've got something that other people want. You have community. You have faith. My first Sunday here, I was invited to go and visit some people who are in a care home. And I thought it was just going to be me and maybe one other person. But no, a whole bunch of you went to visit. That is not typical. Usually the care home visits is one person who brings the greetings of the church, maybe, but a whole bunch of people went and they sang together and they smiled and they laughed together. That's community. That's what the world seeks. Isolation and loneliness is a national health crisis. But look at you all here today. And look at this beautiful day. There are so many other things you could be doing right now, but you came here. There's something here at this parish that's special and important and necessary in the wider community of Powell River and Lund and Comox. You have something special. Do you know what that is? Care to take a guess? You have the Holy Spirit here, now, circulating among you, within you, with you, on behalf of you, together. You, and you, and I, and the Spirit, and people that haven't walked through those doors yet are going to share something really special. If people are going to be looking at our parish, let's give them something to look at. Let's sing that amen, just like in the movie with Sidney Poitier. Let's sing it loud enough so the people can hear it across the street, so that they look over here and they say, oh, they've got something I want. So let's take that story from Samuel, that cautionary tale about looking over the fence at others, and let's turn that around. How do we get people to look over the fence at us and to recognize that we've got something valuable, something they want? It's no different than what Jesus did. People gathered around Jesus because he had something. People gathered around with those disciples after the resurrection. They said, they've got something. Something I want what they've got. And I'm not sure what it is, but they've got something. St. David's and St. Paul's, you've got something here. I think it's the good news. So I think we should make that good news more visible to others, because that's what the world needs. You are the good news of the kingdom of heaven, and you've got something. And that's good news.